Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of April 5, 2024. This week we pray for God's church throughout the world, that those who believe everywhere would be gathered in the harvest of faith, and that Christians would be emboldened and strengthened to proclaim the gospel in light of Christ's resurrection throughout the world. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said, "To this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Our gospel reading is the resurrection described in Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. When we talk about sacrifice, we may talk about giving up something, but sacrifice, going back to the ancient world, began when God took the life of an animal and clothed Adam and Eve in skins. Then, after that, you have Cain and Abel bringing an offering to God of their work. Cain brought fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. God did not have regard for Cain's offering, and the Lord told Cain that he would be accepted if he did well, otherwise sin was crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. It was good advice that Cain just couldn't take. In this instance, Cain and Abel brought of their goods. This was a sacrifice for each of them, even if not a literal blood sacrifice. Now, blood atoned for sin. For Adam and Eve, the blood of an animal was shed, and their nakedness was covered. The evidence of their sin was that they knew they were naked, and so God remedied this by covering them and thus covering the sin. Blood atones for sin. We know that other nations made sacrifices, including the abomination of human sacrifices. This was an evil practice that went on throughout the ancient world. Now, God does something puzzling in Genesis chapter 22. The eternal God, the God of the heavens and the earth, now asks Abraham to take his son and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. This was the son of promise. This son was precious to Abraham. Here are a few passages I want to share with you. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 25. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. Psalm 95, verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. We may have heard this in our liturgy before. Psalm 97, verse 9, for you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. I want to make clear that the creator of the heavens and the earth is the only true God. Note that when other gods are mentioned, those are not capitalized in the text. However, in history, we can certainly say that there were pharaohs and emperors that passed themselves off as gods. They weren't actually gods. They passed themselves off as gods. Then there was likely something else going on in the ancient world. There were also fallen beings, spirits, that were passing themselves off as gods. And so the people of other nations were doing more than just worshiping hunks of wood or stone or silver and building temples to them. They were likely visited by fallen beings who demanded human sacrifices. A big difference is that the eternal, unchangeable God loves his creation and would not demand such a sacrifice. That is, until now, with Isaac. Why would God demand what the false gods of the other nations demanded? God had made promises, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to Abraham as righteousness. Abraham was obedient to God. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. So often, our earliest times of waking involve an early journey. I woke up as late as I could before my mother's knee replacement surgery, 4:45 in the morning. Everything seems different that time of day. Things are more peaceful that time of day. The journey for them begins early. Abraham cut the wood that was necessary, and they arrived to the place of sacrifice on the third day, seeing it from afar. He left the men with the donkey. Abraham told them they would go to worship God in return. Abraham piles the wood on Isaac to carry. He has the fire and the knife. Remember, he couldn't just use a lighter, like a Bic, so he brings the fire and they go up the mountain. Isaac asks where the lamb for the offering might be. Abraham explained that God would provide the lamb. But then he proceeds to bind Isaac to the altar when they reach the place. Abraham now reaches out the knife to slaughter his son. This is where I must interject. I have a friend who asked about this very passage. He is a faithful man, but he wondered how Abraham could go and sacrifice his son, how Abraham could be so obedient in the face of such a big request. He could never do the same with his own son. A lot of fathers in various times and places would feel the same way. It was hard for him to imagine how Abraham could do so. This was the son of God's promise to Abraham. This was the son through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. This was the son through whom Abraham was to have countless descendants. No loving parent could ever take such a request lightly. It would be heart-wrenching. Abraham was asked to do this thing. What guarantee was there? Not here is there any guarantee that he will get his son back, even though he did say they would return after worshiping. Was Abraham fibbing when he told the servants this? Abraham had one important thing to go on. He had the promise, and so far God had kept a really big one. He had given him and Sarah his son Isaac in their golden years, an impossible miracle. If God kept a promise like that, certainly he would fulfill the rest, so maybe he did believe that they would return together. But it's even more drastic than that. So Abraham lifts his hand to slaughter his son, and the angel of the Lord, God, called to him from heaven and said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham shed the blood of the ram instead of the blood of Isaac, giving it as a burnt offering, and then proceeded to call that place the Lord will provide. But I told you it was more drastic than that. We are talking about slaughtering a son, about giving him as a burnt offering. The book of Hebrews talks about the faith of the saints, the fathers and mothers who went before, who believed and trusted in God. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. We are talking not just about wounds here, but raising a person from ashes. He trusted that God would do that because Abraham trusted that God keeps his promises, and he had already promised Abraham many descendants through Isaac. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. God says of Isaac, even before he was born, "I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." God doesn't let Abraham get that far. He's saving this particular miracle for another day. Then listen to what God tells Abraham after the test had passed. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I've sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. The God of the heavens and earth is eternal, wise, all-seeing, knowing, and ultimately good. This character does not change. He is not like the cruel beings who have passed themselves off as gods. Capricious, cruel, wicked, He is a great king above all gods. None can equal him. This event is called a type. It is an event that points to greater events to come. Just as Moses and Elijah point to Christ at the Transfiguration, here the sacrifice of Isaac points to Christ. Think now of your favorite novel. What if someone were to tear off the last third of the book? Now the book would leave you hanging. Now the book would be incomplete. You might think, if you had never read it, this is a great book, but there's something really important, something missing here. Seems to leave off. This seems not to resolve. The Jewish people do not share the New Testament. Yet, the New Testament completes the arc of Scripture. It rounds out everything, because without it, the Old Testament, or what Jewish people call the Tanakh, which stands for Law, Prophets, and Writings, seems to leave off, kind of like a road where the rest of the road has been washed away and it ends in the air. Without completing the arc of Scripture with the New Testament, how does this important event make sense? What does it mean if it is not fulfilled in Jesus? I want you to think about what God has said here. By myself I've sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. God loved Abraham. He believed, and God counted it to him as righteousness. As it is, there is not one who actually is righteous. Apart from God, we are lost. We have no righteousness. We are also that road leading into empty space without hope of completion. When Isaac was on the chopping block and God stopped Abraham, God provided a ram. Abraham had faith that God would provide one way or another. He didn't even withhold his precious son. So it is that sin has put us on the chopping block. One way or another, we are going to pay, either with our own blood or with the blood of a sacrifice in our place. Our sins yield death and condemnation. The death penalty is the price. Yet God does provide a lamb in our place. He sends his Son, the Holy Son of God from eternity, clothes himself in human flesh. He is baptized into our sins, and for that God says, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Christ came to pay the price for all sin. He took in all sin upon his baptism. He is the Lamb that God provides. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb who is sacrificed, crucified on the cross as a payment for all sin. His death takes away our sins. All who believe on him shall be saved. God does not demand or delight in human sacrifice, but God, in his great love, does not hold back. God has not withheld his Son, his only Son. He gives him for the life of the world. It is in this context that these verses make sense. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God loved you and wanted you to have life, so he paid a terrible price for you. He gave over his Son. God does this gladly. His Son gives his life for you. God's great love is shown in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. That is what this narrative is about. This is about you. You are Isaac. Christ is the ram, or if we prefer in this context, the lamb. God puts his Son on the altar. He does not withhold him. His Son sheds his holy innocent blood for you. Your sins are forgiven, paid for all time. So now, Abraham has many descendants, like the stars in the sky. Included among them, on account of Christ, are those who believe in Christ Jesus, grafted into this family tree. God keeps his promises. He doesn't go back on them. So, as we remember how the Lamb of God was given for our sins, we might recall back to Job, who in his mourning, even in Old Testament times, believed in the resurrection. He knew that his Redeemer lived, that he would stand before his Redeemer face to face in the flesh. He would stand before God even after his skin had been destroyed. Now, Christ, he lives. He rose from the dead. And so, knowing that Christ is the first fruits risen from the dead, we also know that God in his faithfulness will one day raise us again to eternal life on account of the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving your Son in our place, who carried our sins to the holy cross and is now risen. We pray that we will stand before you in the flesh, even after our skin has been destroyed, and bring us into your heavenly kingdom. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for your church throughout the world, that those who believe everywhere would be gathered in the harvest of faith, and that Christians would be emboldened and strengthened to proclaim your gospel in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in light of his resurrection. We thank you for giving him as the sacrifice to take away our sins. Help us ever to remember this precious gift throughout our lives. Help us to remember it even in times of grief and sorrow, to remember that the tomb is temporary and that there will be a resurrection to come. Bring us at last to your kingdom. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Romans chapter 4. It is verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave will Christ recall me. Brighter scenes will then commence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, to him the throne. High above all things is given. I shall go where he is gone. Live him in heaven. God is faithful, doubting's hence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives for me, he died. Hence will I to Jesus living, pure in heart and act abide, praise to him and glory giving. All I need God will dispense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, I know full well. Nothing me from him shall sever. Neither death nor powers of hell part me now from Christ forever. God will be my sure defense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, the Son above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround me, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Whispering of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fountainhead of love divine. Joyful we thy hand inherit, joyful we by grace are thine. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your life blood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. And with that have freely given, blessings countless as the sand, to the unthankful and the evil, with your own unsparing hand. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own, with the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity. In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all to me. Can it be, O gracious Master, that you deign for alms to sue, saying, by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you. Lord of glory, you have brought us with your life blood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, with your love our love renew. All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing, though all earthly wealth depart. They who trust with faith unshaken by their God are not forsaken, and will keep a dauntless heart. He who to this day has fed me and to many joys has led me, his endeavor shall be mine. He who ever gently schools me, he who daily guides and rules me, will remain my help divine. Many spend their lives in fretting over trifles and in getting things that have no solid ground. I shall strive to win a treasure that will bring me lasting pleasure, and that now is seldom found. When with sorrow I am stricken, hope anew my heart will quicken. All my longing shall be stilled. To his loving kindness tender, soul and body I surrender. For on God alone I build. Well, he knows.
thought best to grant me all the longing hopes that haunt me. Joy and sorrow have their day. I shall doubt his wisdom never, as God will, so be it ever. I commit to him my way. If my days on earth he lengthen, God my weary soul will strengthen. All my trust in him I place. Earthly wealth is not abiding, like a stream away is gliding. Say by